RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad, boys and girls. On a gloriously sunny day here in Pop Brad in the east of Slovakia, I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains, and there's no snow yet. It'll be here. Don't panic. Worth coming in the winter. Book your holiday now. Sorry, that was the tourist information service. On the zit of the nose of Europe, in what looks like on the television to be the next disaster area of the Europe, it's Lee Banks.
It is a complete disaster over here.
Is it?
Honestly. Yeah. Have a look. Do you realise that food has started to go up in Britain surreptitiously now? It's gone up by an average of like 10%, just with nobody watching. Britain is a disaster.
Yeah, it's also the same with the cans getting smaller and remaining the same price, and other
absolutely
and packet food doing the same things,
and sell by dates have gone.
Good.
No, I'll get lost.
Good.
It's going to cost you a fortune now.
No, it won't. I'll tell you why in a minute. And in Gay Paris is none other than the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
Yeah, hello, everybody. And I have to say, food is going up in price here in Paris as well. I think it's going up everywhere. But these sort of sneaky price increases, I noticed the other day, the OXO cubes, of which I'm extremely fond. And if you have a cup of OXO with milk in it, it's wonderful.
That's why you're banished to Paris.
Even when I was a kid in the tuck shop, we had a tuck shop at our school, and I used to get OXO with milk, and everybody used to go here. But I notice now that if you have a look at OXO cubes, they've got grooves down the side of each cube. So they still fill the same place. They still fill the same box, but actually there's less of it.
Marvellous.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you happen to be in the world. Hi to the listeners at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, and, of course, on Audio Boo, and the lovely people on RTI as well. Damn, my chair just moved. What are we going to do? What we normally do, boys and girls, is have a sideways humorous look at the news, but sadly we've got to start with some very unfortunate news from Wales, because there's been a disaster in one of the very few remaining mines in South Wales. And originally the story was that there was four trapped miners in the coal mine. Unfortunately now that's down to three, because one of the miners has been noted to everybody as dying in the accident. And our thoughts and prayers really can go only with the families of those that are still waiting, and of course the families and friends of the person who's lost his life. We can't say much more than that, can we, guys?
Not really. It is a tragedy. It's unfolding as we're watching it. It's quite macabre to watch these things, particularly now with all the new technology that brings everything to your screen or your computer by the second. And it's a very, very tragic story. I think there will be an investigation into this kind of mining, though, because it's almost Victorian, the way it's carried out.
I'm not even going to go there, Lee, because I don't have enough knowledge of it.
No, that's right.
I think that's too dangerous to do. But it is something that I think we should all reflect on, that there are so many people around the world that still do these kind of jobs, which are very dangerous, just to keep us in the lap of luxury with warmth in our homes. And
at a much bigger scale, I mean, the accidents that have been in South Africa and China and so forth. But I don't know why this particular accident touched me really personally. And I don't know anybody who's been involved in this kind of thing, but I had a real sense of great sorrow to hear about this person's death. And I really hope the other's all right.
It reminds you of Chile, doesn't it? It makes you think of that.
Yes, it does. Yeah,
and it's not something that happens in Britain.
No.
Not for decades. Yeah.
Well, no, because, of course, mining is now such a small industry in comparison. But we do send our love and thoughts and prayers to everybody in South Wales. I'm sure have all been touched by this. And let's hope that this kind of tragedy is not seen again for many, many decades in the future.
Yeah, that's right, mate.
Okay, moving on, boys and girls. Haven't we got some birthdays or messages this week?
Well, I've got one birthday. I haven't got any messages because I've got to hold my hands up, ladies and gentlemen. If you've written into the show, I forgot to go and have a look on the site to see what you said. So, anyway, we're going to do some messages next week. We'll do a birthday. Here's a birthday.
Right.
And it's a very important birthday. It's probably one of the most important birthdays on the calendar.
Yeah, right. Yours?
No, it's not mine, dear.
Oh.
No.
It's Eric's.
No, I had my 36th last year.
Yeah.
Eric had his 84, so we don't particularly discuss the age. And Postman Pat is 30 today.
My word.
Well, I can see that left you distinctly unmoved. Postman Pat, one of the most iconic figures on British television. He's 30.
I'm just rocked to the core. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, me too, Mark.
You know how many times I've actually got a headline in the paper, in newspapers, national newspapers, calling, using the phrase Postman Pratt.
Oh, I dread to think.
Three in a whole career. I've only ever been able to use Postman Pratt three times.
Gordon Bennett. Oh, dear.
All right, so you don't care it's Postman Pat's birthday.
No,
well, I hope the ladies and gentlemen out there do.
Not his blasted black and white cat as well. I should say hi to both Danielle, and Caroline Briggs, who are listening to us. They found us again. Marvellous. Where have you been for the last 10 years? But they are back with us again now. And a bunch of the other guys that are saying nice things on Facebook. We do thank you for those. The feedback is really, really nice. Bollywood.
I know. I think this is just a really strange story. And also, we have some listeners in India who I'd like to say hello to, but as always, I've forgotten to get the names and write them down. I'm so embarrassed, chaps.
You're such a professional journalist, aren't you?
I am. That's it. What it is, it's you fly by the seat of your pants in this business, don't you, Eric? And sometimes you forget to put your pants on.
In your case, all the time. Yes.
Anyway, yeah.
Yes.
This poor little... I'm going to say a name. This is for you, for India.
Mm-hmm.
Nikita Thukral. Right?
Thukral.
Thukral with a TH.
Thukral.
Yeah.
Thukral.
It's Thukral.
Yes.
Thukral.
I'd just like to apologise now for the Mancunian accent.
Yes.
That Mancunian accent didn't do anything. The Mancunian accent was being quite Protestant and close to God by pointing out that you might have made a mistake.
I don't see what Protestants have got to do with it.
No, anyway, I don't either. I'm confused.
It was with a little P, not a big P.
If
you put it with a big P, then it becomes religious. If you put it with a little P when you say it, that just means it's sort of like a description.
So how do you do a big P and a little P on radio?
Do you want me to go and do one?
No. Anyway, what's the story then? Morning Glory.
Well, she's had an affair. And you, Nikita, you should be ashamed of yourself, you naughty, naughty girl. Mm. But it appears that she's had an affair. I have to say it's an alleged affair, only an alleged affair.
Mm.
But she might have been a naughty, naughty girl with somebody else's personage. And she's actually despoiled the domestic harmony of a fellow actor. So she's been banned by the people who make films in Bollywood. For 3 years, she's not allowed to make films because she had an affair. How would that go on if she was in Hollywood and not Bollywood?
Well, how
would it go on if she'd been a man? I have to say,
he'd have been a hero, wouldn't he?
Well, exactly. But either way round, if it had been Hollywood, the film offers would be flying out the door, wouldn't they?
That's right. And she's like basically out of work. I think that's terrible.
I do, really.
Can I just say that the news update on this, actually, she's been reinstated.
Has she?
Yes. I'm not quite sure the base on that, but the organisation that suspended
her... I'm looking for an update.
And I think you'll find that she's been reinstated. But, I mean, the fact that this broke up anyway, I mean, is you know, really quite extraordinary. And what colossal injustice to this woman, partly because she's had an affair, and I suppose in Western culture that's not such a serious thing. Maybe in some parts of the Indian culture, maybe that's more serious. But also, I suspect that she's been treated in this way, particularly because she's the female part of it, and I think that probably gives her a disadvantage, and that's unfortunate as well.
I wonder what our Indian journalists think of that.
I'll tell you what I will do. I'll get in touch with a lady called Honey, who runs one of the big Bollywood dance schools in the UK.
Oh, right.
Because she's a personal friend of mine.
Is she indeed? How personal?
Been to dinner with her.
I've been to dinner.
Yes.
What did you have? Did you have to eat with your fingers?
No.
The Indians eat with the fingers.
I don't think they all do, but I mean, I think there is quite a culture.
I'm going to India in 2 weeks. I know everything about India.
Hang on a minute. Warning, India. Warning.
You're calling.
Yeah, Banksy's coming out. Look out.
And he hasn't got a knife and fork.
Well, that's nothing new. Anyway, moving along, he says, as we've said hello to India, $2 billion allegedly has been lost by a rogue trader in the UK. Quinny Adoboli is the gentleman concerned, who's from London, and he worked for the Swiss bank UBS, who were very quick to point out that although the money's been lost, it's not from their people that have accounts there.
Mm. Where's it been lost from, then?
I have no idea.
Probably from the director's bonuses, I expect, or something like that. I mean, this is news, obviously, and it's quite important, but I mean, it's not exactly new news, because we all know of Nick Leeson, who brought Baring to its knees after doing rogue deals on $6 billion. So this latest news is quite small beer. And then wasn't it more recently Society General in France also? And I can't remember what the extent of that was.
Excuse me, Eric.
Yes.
May I just say, we must make a note never to employ Mark on the news desk.
Why?
Oh.
Because he's a bloody good story. The fact that Nick Leeson did it earlier doesn't mean that this isn't a story.
Well, I feel very proud that the Brits got in there first. I mean, you know, this person is not a Brit. And the Société Générale rogue trader was a Frenchman. You know,
we did it,
we got it first, and we did it better and bigger. And we actually
brought the bank down. I hold my hands up to you, Mark, so you are quite right.
There we are.
Eureka. Anyway, the message that he posted on his Facebook page was, "I need a miracle," a couple of days ago. That's prior to him being arrested on alleged rogue trading, because until he's proven guilty, it's alleged rogue trading.
And he's innocent until proven guilty. That's
correct.
The law of the land.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, by putting that message on Facebook, all that he did, because he knew he was in trouble, he knew he got a load of, he got £2 billion, $2 billion worth of trouble, that's what he got. Yeah. And so he put a message on Facebook, and now he's up there with the notorious and the infamous, and he'll write a book and become a millionaire in his own right.
Probably. Anyway, moving along with staying with the banks, central banks expand dollar operations. In other words, they pump loads of dollars into the economies. Equally, France and Germany are doing similar things, which will ultimately help the European debt crisis. I don't know, Mark, do you want to comment on this one? Because this quantitative easing, as it's called, is slightly confusing, isn't it?
Well, I mean, as far as I can gather, I mean, I'm not an economist by any means, but as far as I can gather, if quantitative easing basically means that you put more money into the economy so that there's more money to go round, to jobs, to sort of fund the high street, because, of course, all the money's being taken away from the people by the banks, and hopefully to sort of stimulate the economy. And, of course, eventually it finds its way back in taxation as well. So it's not just so it's a bit like sort of pump priming, I suppose. And I suppose that this is what it is. Of course, what's interesting is that they're doing it in dollars. And
well,
Lee and
why
I
are they doing it in dollars when the dollar's dead in the water too?
Well, I think that it's very important that if the dollar is depressed, so many people, so many countries are basically holding dollars. It's important, really, I suppose, that their money reserves are revalued, and so it may be, and I really don't know, but it may.
But all I was going to say is that there are some quite successful economies in this world still. Why don't we go to the economies that are succeeding? Why do we go to the ones that are failing?
Well, you mean like China?
Yeah.
Well, so, I think that the West would rather that the Western economies, remain competitive with Chinese economy. And I think that if you start to go to the Chinese economy, then I suppose there's some kind of economic jealousy. There's the self-interest. But also, it does seem to me that if you're holding your reserves in dollars, then you want to build up that. You don't want to build up some other currency that's then going to mean that the value of your reserves is even more depleted. And I'm just saying this completely speculatively because I'm not an economist.
Yeah. The thing is, we actually have to accept that the economic system that we operate doesn't work. And so we are perpetuating it by trying to boost. It's like it's flogging a dead horse, isn't it? The dollar's dead. Let's give it to give it. Let's have it. We'll spend it even though it's dead. There's something wrong with any kind of business that goes to failure to find success.
I think the other issue is that for, and again, America, sorry guys, if you're not like that in America, but America is definitely like it, and so is the UK. You guys are so sort of hell-bent on the credit card.
Yes.
Whereas here, it's just not done. It's not the same sort of thing. It's not the way in which they run their economy. And it's quite apparent because the fact is, if you look at all the figures, areas like this in Central Europe don't suffer the same way as other areas. Why? Because they don't have personal debt.
I think that is absolutely it. And I think, obviously, 100% of what the problem that's happened to our world economy is basically personal debt, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Let's move on. As we say, we'll try and squeeze loads of stories in this week. There's a probe about a 9/11 tweet.
I think this is terrible. What a complete tweet he is. Liverpool, young striker for Liverpool, Nathan Eccleston, made a... You see, when I do this story now, I'm not actually particularly blaming Nathan Eccleston for what he did. He was an idiot to do it. But there is an underlying point to this. This bloke, Nathan Eccleston, who I've named three times now, tweeted about 9/11. On the day of 9/11, and basically what he did, he described the deaths of the, 3,000 people died, and he described their deaths as an accident. And he appeared to subscribe to this conspiracy theory that a secret society known as the Illuminati were involved. Mm-hmm. And his tweet read, do we want to read his tweet?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, we're
good.
Really? RIP, all 9/11 victims, my thoughts are with their families and all that were affected by this tragic accident.
What's wrong with that?
Well, he's called it a tragic accident. Then it goes on to say, I ain't going to say attack. Don't let the media make you believe that this was terrorist attack. Well, there you have it. That suddenly becomes rather a bad thing for him to say. How would he know it wasn't a terrorist attack? And why would he do that?
Oh, yeah. But of course, I mean, all he's doing is really echoing all these conspiracy theories. I mean, you hear the same kind of thing about Princess Diana's death as well. And I mean, you know, who is this guy? What is he? 20-year-old footballer.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
Testosterone. Sorry, but you know, there we are. Testosterone loaded. He's probably very, very good at his job. Maybe not much good at a lot of other things. Is that an unkind thing to say? So, well, you know, there we are. I mean, people talk about these guys. You know, people say that these guys have their brains in their balls, and he's probably got his brains in his footballs. And you know, after kicking it around for 90 minutes, there's probably not a lot left in there that works very well. And the result is this tweet.
I think there's another point to it as well, though. Like I said right at the beginning, I'm not particularly pillorying Nathan Eccleston, although I've now named him five times. Mm. it's the fact that tweeters, people who tweet, actually live in a minefield of legalities and offensiveness. And the thing is, I don't think they actually understand what they're doing. So a lot of people, it's an extension of sending an email, and an email generally just goes to one other person, so you can say things that you might not normally say in public. And yet these people, particularly famous people like it, or people on the way up, are actually saying ludicrous things and probably not understanding the import of what they're doing. And in a way...
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, I think I'm quite sure he knows very well what he's doing by tweeting, because, you know, he's a public figure, he's got a fan base, and, you know, the more fans he can get going, then the more likely he's going to have a successful career and his club's going to make money. But in terms of actually understanding, you know, what he means by the content of his tweets, I completely agree with you. He's probably got no idea.
Absolutely. Just young innocence, as they say. But it always gets... twisted around the wrong way, unfortunately.
That's right, but it's the way new technology abuses young innocence, really, and that's what worries me.
Yeah, okay, I can buy that. Yeah, I can buy into that. Anyway, this is rather a tragic story. Next,
this is a terrible story.
Of a young man, a father, who died when he became trapped by clothes on a clothes horse as he hung out his washing to dry. Brian was 38, was asphyxiated by, or after tripping and falling backwards into the plastic drying rack, one of these things that stands up the old-fashioned clothes horse.
It's like a concertina. It's one of those that's like a concertina.
Yeah. Or a scissor job type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And the coroner said that it was, you know, there was a greater chance of being killed by lightning or a meteorite than the way this happened. And really, it just sort of goes to show that there are so many dangerous things in the house.
Yeah.
And we just got to sort of think about it a bit, haven't we?
Well, it is, because this story is absolutely horrific. You know, it's not like the man was doing anything that you would remotely consider could end up in your demise. He was hanging out his washing. And one of the things that every house virtually in this world must have, you know, a folding air dryer, actually killed him.
Yes, it's
unbelievable.
Horrendous. I hope his family and also his 18-year-old daughter, and he's got 11-year-old son.
And his 11-year-old son. I mean, how devastating.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's asphyxiated in a... Where do we see this? It was a concertina, and it, as he tried to escape, it tightened down on him and made the problem even worse. Shocking.
The sad thing is his daughter, Sean, he says he was a lovely person, very easygoing, and he was meant to be giving me away at my wedding in April.
Not so good. This is another one of those stories, next, where I think I'll let Lee do the story.
Well, all right.
And then I'll add some facts to it later.
Yeah, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is just setting me up for a fall. That's what he does all the time. I'm like,
a very long fall here, apparently.
Yeah, very long fall.
Yeah. At least I don't look like a coconut.
Go on, then.
Right. Anyway, watch that space, Now, this 6 tons of NASA's satellite is set to fall.
Satellite, dear boy. Satellite.
What did I say?
Satellite.
You said a
satellite.
A satellite. Yeah. Now that's because it's a sausage. It's got sausages up there.
Mm.
And so this sausage light is going set to fall uncontrolled out of its orbit.
Yeah.
Potentially raining debris over half the planet. And up to half a million. No, hang on. How many people? Loads of us, anyway, could be really badly injured by this.
Yeah.
It's frightening, isn't it?
But do you know how much
satellite?
I couldn't even imagine how much space debris falls to Earth, goes through the ionosphere and gets burnt to almost the size of a marble, some of which falls on the Earth, some of which doesn't. In fact, there's a massive program that NASA are involved in at the moment to clear up the space debris, because it's like a junkyard up there.
It is. I tell you what, how much money to be up there if you could get that and take it to a scrapper.
Oh, I know. But the problem is, you see, that they put those bloody bins up there now, those green bins and the yellow bins and the blue bins. Nobody knows where the trouble is. You've got a local authority inspector there who's out to jump on you and fine you if you get the wrong one. I mean, it's just a massive problem. And so at the end of the day, what we have is this tremendous risk of debris falling out in space, possibly onto people's head, although it's very low risk, but probably less risk than the chance of getting caught in a clothes dryer.
One in 3,200 chances or whatever it is. The reason this is an interesting story is, A, because like Eric says, that they're looking at ways of cleaning up space now. And you're quite right, there's loads of debris pouring out of the sky at you all the time. And you never even notice it, because it's little. This is half a ton that's coming
But it
down.
Won't be half a ton when it gets here.
No, but then it breaks up like a bomb. It goes like one of those bullets that splits up into little bits and kills hundreds of people at once. 5 billion people are potentially at risk. That's why it's a story.
The majority of it will burn up when it enters the Earth's atmosphere. And it gets so very, very tiny. You probably find that sort of when you have... I've forgotten the name of them now. When it rains ice balls. What are they called?
Raining ice balls.
Shut up. You could probably get a bigger one of them things, and you'd get bits of metal.
Ice ball.
Grail.
Well, no, you know when it rains really cold and you get...
Grail. Grail.
You can't get it in your gin and tonic.
Hail.
That's the word. Thank you. You'll probably find a hail.
The Georgina hail.
Yeah, you get more damage when there's hail than you'd get with the amount of stuff that's coming out of this thing.
Not true. You're just making it up.
But they come down regularly all the time, Lee.
Not half a ton of it.
They do.
But listen, can I just so I can make sure that I'm not going out that night, what date is this schedule?
It's any time. Later this month.
The fact is they don't know, because when a satellite's on a decayed orbit like this, it's very difficult to actually specifically give you a time of when it will come through the Earth's atmosphere, because even going through that changes the time scale. So there's a whole bunch of factors that they can't calculate that mean they can't. It's worse than forecasting the weather, Mark.
Isn't this against some bylaw or something? I'm sure if I did it, I'd get in trouble.
There's six continents. This debris could fall over six continents, endangering billions of people, mm-hmm. and three oceans as well. Let's kill a few fish as well.
Yeah, well, what...
There were only five continents.
Right, well, I know where you're coming from, Mark, and there is a rule for commercial satellites whereby, as they get towards the end of their life, before the solid fuel that's on board, because don't forget, satellites are powered by solar power.
Coal?
Huh? No, they are then fired off into outer space, so they can't have a decayed orbit like this one.
That's why I like throwing your rubbish into the next door neighbour's garden.
It's a bit, yes,
that's exactly. Yeah,
I can just imagine all the little Martians picking up the bits with the scrapyard.
Exactly.
But the fact is, there's lots of other ones that are not under that control, and for years there wasn't that control. So you have almost a ring around the Earth of space junk.
This is the Colgate Ring of Confidence.
It's like Saturn's ring, isn't it?
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
What? There's nothing rude about that.
But the funny thing is...
Saturn's ring around Uranus, really. Uranus.
But the thing is, the people that complain the most about these things tend to be the ones that use them most by virtue of television, telephone calls, data, the internet, and don't believe any of the reports about the internet not being able to go by satellite, because it does. In fact, the first connections in America were done by satellite anyway, so, like, who cares? Everybody uses these things, and, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, don't complain about it if you're going to be the user of it. It's way it goes.
I think that is an horrendous stand to take.
Why?
I'm sorry, Mr. Wiltshire.
Why?
Because if these things are going to damage us or damage the planet or damage the atmosphere or put holes in the ozone layer and stuff like that, we should be looking at saying, hang on, we need to investigate this and see if there's a better way of doing what we're actually doing.
I don't disagree with that either.
Well, you can't say what you just said then.
Yes, I can, because you're using
no,
them.
No, you can't.
Yes. Yeah, you can. I've just done it. What's the problem? I don't have a problem with that. Anyway, that's the end of part one of Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls. We'll see you in part two as I just sort of call out a little bit because it's so darned hot here.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.